Hey guys, welcome to the Killing the Tea podcast. This is Gear,
And Kate.
and we are going to be discussing all things chills, thrills, and kills. Kate and I are going to be talking about our favorite books, TV shows, and movies that are in the thriller or crime fiction genre, as well as some reading habits and other items related to how we met on Bookstagram, that will fit in with this podcast. So thank you so much for joining us, and we hope that you have fun and get totally terrified.
Well, I was trying to think of an icebreaker and I couldn't think of any. And so then I just Googled one while I was, so I didn't just stare at myself and fixate on my hair. I was like, maybe I'll just Google some icebreakers. And I mean, I kind of think this one is kind of interesting. What
Okay.
would you do first if you were invisible for a day?
Oh my God, if I was invisible for a day, I'd probably like, what would I do if I were invisible for a day? I don't know. I would probably find people that I don't find trustworthy and
Yeah.
hang around them and see if they talk shit about me.
That's a good one.
What would you do?
I feel like I would like break in, well, not break in, go into some like bank or financial institution and send myself a shit ton of money.
Oh, we can do illegal then.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course.
Oh, okay. Then
Of
yeah, I'd probably
course.
do that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd probably do that too. Yeah. I would definitely like send myself, not just me though, I would also be like kind of like a
There you go.
vigilante and like send a
Yes.
bunch of money to like myself,
Yeah.
and like the people that I love, and also like charities.
And I was also going to say, I would be Robin Hood. I'd go take it from someone who didn't need it and
100%.
probably deserve to lose it.
Donald Trump would have no money when I was done with him.
There we go. We
Yeah.
would have like sent it to each other, to ourselves, to our families.
Yeah. Yep. I would have sent all of his money to everybody and their mother.
Literally everybody.
We
Yeah.
also have kind of an announcement corner
Oh yeah, you're right.
because we started off really strong when we started recording the podcast. It was like the end of the August.
August, I
Okay, we're
think.
just gonna go with that if we both guessed it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, for like 3 months we were like good, and then holidays happened and we each started having ailments. And
Yes.
so there've been like a couple of weeks that we've had to like take off here and there. I apparently now have vertigo, which is super fun and exciting.
So cool.
Better than my like hypochondriac mind convincing myself that I had a brain tumor or a
Right.
blood clot or like something wrong with my heart. But yeah, I have vertigo, so we took last week off.
Yeah. And I was like, what was wrong with me? Oh, my hair is what was wrong with me.
You've had, I think we've had to, you had a stomach bug or food
Yep.
poisoning.
There was the assassination attempt, as Tyler calls it.
Yep.
And
Migraine?
yeah, I've had migraines before, yeah.
So
We're just weak little introverts who just sit on our
occasionally shit
couches and read.
happens. Yeah. Occasionally shit happens when you just try to stay at home and take care of yourself. But basically, that's kind of what people are going to notice now is we're only going to be having one episode a week now.
Yeah.
We'll
We
still be
also talk
recording.
forever, so.
Yeah, I mean, we're still going to be recording. I think maybe like the goal or what we're going to be aiming for, who knows if we'll actually do it, is trying to have like one episode a week, but it's going to be a full episode instead of one long episode cut into two each week. So that way we will be prepared if something else
Yeah.
happens.
Because it will.
Maybe people will be like, maybe it'll be easier for people to like stay up to date too with like the podcast because it's only once a week. I know like
Yeah.
sometimes with other ones too, and I think we're really good at this, but like I used to love like My Favorite Murder, but they were friends like we are, so they would chit chat for like an hour sometimes before they
Oh,
got to
wow.
like their murders and stuff. So sometimes an episode would be like 2 hours long, and it would take like a week, like if you drive, 20, 30 minutes to work and that's when you listen to your podcast, then maybe this will be perfect.
Yeah, I think so.
So learn it, live it, love it.
We need merch now.
Speaking of love,
Oh,
I haven't
that is
fallen
a
in
good
love.
segue.
I haven't fallen in love in 2 weeks, but
Oh.
there is something I want to mention on the podcast before it blows up on the internet. Jeffree Star has been posting on Twitter that he is dating somebody in the NFL who is 6'6", and nobody knows who it is, but there's a lot of speculation. And because I'm a nosy little bitch and I love gossip, it is popping up all over my TikTok. So I just want to mention that we are going to be following this heavily because I love
Very
nothing
closely.
more than a hot NFL player. Well, he also like lives in Montana now.
I remember because he was hanging out with Ye, wasn't he? Like a couple of years ago in Montana.
I think that was like a rumor. Okay, so that's what one of the things I would do if I were invisible is I would go through Jeffree Star's phone because I heard him on a podcast and like he was like, you would not believe some of your favorite celebrities, like your favorite rappers and football players and all of this that are sliding into my DMs.
I believe it. Now we know. Now we know a less, not a not quite illegal thing that we could do. Go read
Yeah.
celebrities' phones.
I would send myself money. No, I mean, I would send myself money, but I'd also be nosy and go through celebrity phones.
Yeah. I want to know who's behind or like who all of Taylor Swift's songs are about.
Ooh, good one.
So maybe I'd go, I would
I would make
go
Sarah Michelle
ghost her
Gellar
and
and
Joe.
I would make Sarah Michelle Gellar and Jacob Elordi follow me on Instagram.
There you go. Oh, that would be even more fun.
Now I need my
I guess I would
invisibility
make
cloak.
Harry Styles follow me.
There you go. That would be a good one.
Be a really
Yeah.
good one.
Oh, just,
He's
yeah.
been extra spicy on TikTok lately.
Yes, he has.
He's all over my feed.
Do you think the song Style by Taylor Swift is about him? Because
Yeah,
of like
I
style. Because
do.
she's like, well, it's in the chorus, but I'm like, Taylor, we know you. We don't hear mind
I know.
words.
I think it is because she also talks about it, him looking like James Dean. He does have James Dean vibes. I feel like a lot
And
of it matches up. And
oh
also,
yeah.
Out of the Woods, the bridge where she says, "Remember when you hit the brakes too soon, 20 stitches in the hospital room?" Apparently, that's documented that she and Harry were on a snowmobile and he hit the brakes too soon and flew over the edge of it and had to get 20 stitches. So apparently, Out of the Woods is about Harry and like he's talked about it even.
Ugh, she makes it seem like it was such a toxic romance.
I know. I
I mean, I
mean,
guess I could
with
kind of see
him,
it.
she's actually his are all nice. Like Harry and Tom Hiddleston and Taylor Lautner are the three that everyone jokes like they don't get hated on, but all the other ones do.
Just glad she never dated Jacob Elordi because that would make me sad.
I know. I don't think she's going to
Or Henry
steal him
Cavill.
anytime soon.
No, she'll be like, you can have him, Gare.
She's like,
You and your 2 weeks
I've
of
got my
vertigo.
London boy.
So, speaking of toxic love.
I was going to say, we do have another love segue.
Yeah. So, Valentine's Day is coming up, but we're not going to celebrate like normal people celebrate Valentine's Day. This is not
Why
going to
would we
be
ever?
Colleen Hoover Corner. As much as I love Colleen Hoover, we were thinking of toxic, twisted love stories. So thrillers that kind of deal with toxic relationships, messed up relationships, messed up situations people find themselves in with relationships, stalkers, obsession, all of that good stuff. And yeah, how many do you have? How many did you
Oh yeah, we
find?
didn't even check in. I chose five, but I definitely could have more, so
I have six. With an honorable mention.
Nice.
So
we'll just roll with it.
we'll just roll with it. Well, you know what I was thinking is the reason I like kind of came up with this idea is because my honorable mention, I'll just go first instead of last this time. I am so excited to reread the book Valentine by Tom Savage around Valentine's Day on, you know, this month. So I was like, oh, that would be like kind of fun because it's like a Valentine's Day theme, but it's a thriller. Yeah. It deals with stalking and obsession and all of this fun stuff. So I was like, that would be kind of fun if we just were like, hey,
yeah,
here's some of the fucked up love stories we like, you know, because nothing is trickier and dickier than good old-fashioned love.
You're not wrong.
I'm not wrong.
You're
it's
not
either,
wrong.
It's either tricks or dicks, you know, like it's either like, oh, here's just
or a little bit of both.
A little bit of both. Like here's like I'm in a, you know, one night of fueled passion, or it's like I'm gonna trick you and be like, hey, you know, you might end up with me for the rest of your life and you're surprised by it. So trickier and dickier than love.
That's gonna be the episode title. People are gonna be like, what?
Yeah, tricks and dicks.
I thought this was about like books normally.
I think they've listened enough to know that there's always like some sort of sexual component or innuendo that's mentioned in at least one episode, because listen, we talk about books and we have book boyfriends and we have you know, the adaptations and everything, and there's actors and Harry and Jacob, and there's just, you know,
actors and Harry and Jacob. I mean, what more do you want, people?
Yeah,
I guess we could talk about women. Maybe that's the one thing that we don't talk about.
I think all women deserve better.
And, well, yeah,
and are underrated, because I was actually talking about this with a friend where there's a trope in thrillers right now where it's like if the man cheats, it's kind of like almost like a second chance love story of him to like try to redeem himself and like help the woman put her life back together again, which is so stupid. But so if a woman, she either cheats, or when she does cheat, it's like she cheated and she's doing something deceitful and horrible that's gonna like create a cyclone in a thriller. Or if the man does cheat, it's not like, oh, he's a piece of shit. It's like, oh, he cheated and he should be forgiven, but the woman that he cheated with is crazy, or his wife goes crazy. So all women deserve better, especially in thrillers.
You're right again, of course.
So that's what I have to say about women on the podcast. Be respectful.
Now we've talked about it.
Show the women in your life all the love that they deserve, and let's change some of these stereotypes in fiction so all of your babies that are growing up to be women don't have shitty people to look up to.
Amen.
Amen.
Period. End of sentence. But if you want to talk about not being stereotypical, I have a really good recommendation. And that is Stone Cold Fox by Rachel Collarcroft. It doesn't come out until February 14th. So add it to your list for Valentine's Day. But I just recently read the arc and was obsessed with it. And the description is, well, first it says, a compelling debut novel about an ambitious woman who, after a lifetime of conning alongside her mother, wants to leave her dark past behind and marry the heir to one of the country's wealthiest families. Like any enterprising woman, B knows what she's worth and is determined to get all she deserves. It just so happens that what she deserves is to marry rich. After a lifetime of forced instruction in the art of swindling men by her mother, Bee wants nothing more than to escape her shadow, close the door on their sordid past, and disappear safely into old money domesticity. When Bee finds her final mark in the perfectly dull, blue-blooded Colin, she's ready to deploy all her tricks one last time. The challenge isn't getting the ring, but rather the approval of Colin's family and everyone else in their tax bracket, particularly his childhood best friend, Gail. Going toe-to-toe with Gail isn't a threat to an expert like B, but what begins as an amusing cat-and-mouse game quickly develops into a dangerous chase. As the truth of B's past threatens to come roaring out, she finds herself racing against the clock to pass the finish line before everything is exposed. And
damn,
it is so good. It challenges like a lot of our stereotypes about marriage while also kind of pointing out how a lot of people don't even really have fulfilling marriages. And like, sometimes they are business deals, but like, it's only okay that it's a business deal if it's between rich people, not a rich person and a less rich person. So it like kind of looks at the wealth divide. It looks at messy relationships with mothers and daughters, and she's just a stone cold fox.
I can't wait to read that. I've heard nothing but good things about it.
I loved it so much. There were so many moments where I was like, so sure that like everything was about to fall apart for her. And the suspense and the tension of multiple scenes, you're like, okay, is it about to go wrong? Is it about to go wrong?
Uh-huh.
It's really good.
Damn. I also love to read about like messed up relationships, because the more I see people ending up in relationships and marriages, they can get dark, and a lot of people do have messed up relationships and think that they don't know it.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to agree with you on that one. In all kinds of ways.
Yeah, it's the people that, well, the thing that I like about this too, the synopsis to this, is that it's it seems like, you know, I think with like a lot of like wealthy people, especially in a storyline like that, it's all about appearance. And you will notice that in like any relationship across the board, no matter your like how much money you have in your bank account. But it's always the people that are like posting on Facebook, the people that like don't have to post on social media or like prove to the world how happy they are the ones that are like really happy. But the ones that like throw it in your face are the ones that are kind of like really fucked up,
compensating.
Don't get me wrong, like if you post something for like an anniversary or something, then like fine. But if it's like, oh my god, it's Tuesday and I love my husband, like no, you probably just beat him over the head with like a frying pan. Or found out he like fucked your neighbor.
Your neighbor's husband.
Yeah.
Hannah Berner, who's one of my favorite podcasters, has this joke about the more sentences there are in the caption of an Instagram post that's just about yourself as a couple, the sooner you're gonna break up. And so she like said it on her podcast a few months ago, and now it's happened with a couple of people where we've all been like, look at all these sentences, and then they break up a couple months later. So
like they're trying to like convince.
Yep.
It's not. It's kind of like when you like, I mean, not that you should, not that I'm like pushing people to put themselves in this position, but it's kind of like when you meet a guy and he's like, I never cheat on my wife, or I never cheat on, like, no, if they say they never do it, then like, they do it all the time. And if they don't, like if they just act nervous and they don't have to tell you that they never do it, then like, you're obviously, there's something about you that makes them want to, you know, venture out of.
I would be like, why was that on your mind? Why did that come up for you?
Like if you're like, oh, he's like, oh, you dropped your purse, I never cheat on my wife. No.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, that sounds good.
It's so good.
I can't wait to read it and talk to you about it.
I know,
and everything. Speaking of unconventional relationships, though,
nice,
and ones that don't even try to appear to be perfect. My first one is The Wives by Taryn Fisher, because I liked that this wasn't like a cheating thriller and something of that nature. Because this one is actually about a woman who her husband is a polygamist. So Thursday's husband, Seth, has two other wives. She's never met them and she doesn't know anything about them, but she's the one who agreed to this unusual arrangement because she's crazy about him. Although one day, Thursday finds something that tells a very different and horrifying story about the man she married. And what follows is a twisted, shocking thriller.
Wow. I haven't read that one. It's been on my to-read list for who knows how long.
It's so good. And it's like such
And I
a
want to
good, like,
read
unhinged woman, but like in the best way
it.
possible and not like a
Yes.
stereotype.
Yes.
The synopsis that I got off Goodreads is like a little different than the one that was like pitched to me when it was like
Okay.
read. But basically, because that was like very generic. So like to kind of give you a broader outlook without spoiling
Yeah.
anything, it's basically like she find like there's like an arrangement where like none of the women, like none of the three wives can really communicate with one another, know who each other is. Like they have like Thursday, Monday, or whatever names. And she finds something that gives her like a clue as to who one of the other women is. And she gets like
Ooh.
curious, like, what is she like compared to me? What is their relationship like compared to like when he comes to my apartment every Thursday and stuff like that? So jaw-dropping, shocking, fantastic. And the ending is nuts. So that is
That sounds
my.
amazing.
It's so good. I loved it. I like still like remember like just not wanting to like basically like put this book down at any moment when I was like reading it.
Wow.
And it was like something I read during the week. So, and back when I was in an office.
Yeah.
So that was a bummer, but I just absolutely loved that one.
That sounds so good. Did you watch Big Love on HBO?
I think that I started it, but I like couldn't like it didn't start off with like a bang like The Affair
No.
does or something.
Yep.
So because it's like more character driven, I think like at that point when I tried to start watching it, I was like, meh, I don't know if I can really get into this. But
Yeah. It was fascinating. I remember I watched it like it was like again one of those first shows I binged in college, like when I got access to HBO, and it was like a show that had all the seasons out already, and it is like so fascinating when you do have the dynamics of multiple people in a relationship with one husband, and it did pick up and it got more fun because it was like the women kind of like Handmaid's Tale, like you have moments where you're like, oh, they really love it. The women, even like the wives are really close. They have their own like personal relationships together. And then sometimes in other scenes, you're like, fuck you, I can't believe you did that to her. So like so much tension in that show.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of what I found interesting about the wives is that it wasn't your typical polygamous relationship. It was almost like in between like polygamy. I don't even know if they call themselves polygamous in the book, to be honest with you, because
Okay.
it's a different like it's a different arrangement. But the thing that I liked about it was the fact that like these three women do not know like how he is when he's with the other women, what their
Right.
relationships are like. They've never met. They don't know who, you know what I mean? So like it's kind of like you could be going to the hairdresser and like find out years later that your hairdresser is one of his other wives
That's
and you just never
true.
know it, you know? So it has that like mystery element and it's almost like an arrangement of, you know, when you like read a thriller or you watch a thriller and it's like someone's cheating and like you think that the shit's gonna hit the fan and then you find out that like the wife's like, I've known about his girlfriend for years.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like one of those, they're not all dating and they're not all like in love or harmonious, but like it's like an arrangement, like, oh my God, this guy's so hot. I love him. He treats me so well. But like, I also know that he's got like two other chicks bouncing around
Yeah.
through town, you know?
The reason we know it's fiction is because the guy's actually hot. Because in real life, no man who makes these cults are hot. Well, this isn't a cult, but it's always like ugly men that somehow convince multiple women to marry them.
And with this, it's kind of like I like that it's not like that cult aspect of polygamy
Yeah.
because like it's more believable. Like if Henry Cavill came up to me and was like, okay, like I'm gonna see you on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, but like I'm gonna be with my other bitches and hoes and dudes and bros and all this other shit like the rest of the week, I'd be like, okay, cool, like, makes sense,
go for it,
fine.
Be like, I can have me time.
That's exactly
and
it.
Then I can have us time.
I was reading it and I was like, this actually was like, if somebody approached me with a situation, it would be kind of perfect, because like, I don't like to feel suffocated by like friends or lovers or anything. Like, if you expect me to spend too much time with you, like, oh my God, get away from me. We're over, done, blocked,
it
deleted.
Gives me the ick immediately.
Yes. If you're suffocating me, like, I will. It's kind of like when I argue, it's the same thing. Like, if you back me into a, if you back me into a corner, I'm just going to start saying the most nasty things and the meanest things about you to get you like the hell away from me. Like, I will go. I will seem unhinged and crazy, and it's the same thing if you suffocate me. If you suffocate me, I will be like master manipulator and like and everybody knows that. And by everybody I mean TikTok, because all I get are those things about like TikTok. Hey, you like do like all I get on my TikTok are like those, hey, like, is this guy pissing you off? You want to be toxic? Like, just say to him something to the effect of like, I'm not going to argue with somebody that I lowered my standards to date in the first place.
Yes. Yes. I am here for that.
So yeah, that's my pick.
Well, I have another one that is kind of unconventional, but definitely still applies to messy relationships. What happened this time? Are you just laughing at me?
I was just looking at my list and I'm like, all of mine are literally the most unconventional fucked up relationships.
No shit, you're right.
All of them are.
That is kind of what we, so our segue is like going to be the same thing.
No, like I'm saying, like, we're not just like your typical stalker or like cheating stories. Yeah. Like, all of mine have some sort of like very specific thing in the relationship. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too. So it is kind of the theme of the night. But I read this one this year and loved it so much. And it's called One Little Word by Audra McElyea. Allegra Hudson was murdered. An anonymous source drops the note into Madeline Barton's lap exactly when she needs it most. The recently widowed single mother is struggling to make ends meet as a freelance reporter and covering the mysterious death of a local best-selling author and legend. Allegra Hudson could be the career launching story of her dreams. While working with Allegra's grieving husband, Connor, Madeline plunges down the rabbit hole of Allegra's privileged life. And the deeper she digs, the more dirt she finds. A conniving best friend, a stalker ex-boyfriend, and a marriage in shambles. The closer Madeline gets to the truth, the murkier the waters become. Her sources, looming presence, and constant meddling in her investigation, paired with her growing bond with Connor over their shared grief, have blinded her to the facts, but they won't explain why Allegra Hudson's life feels so familiar to her. Only one thing is certain, Madeline can trust no one. One Little Word is a deliciously clever game of cat and mouse with a completely unexpected twist. So stuff starts to happen with the with the guy that she is investigating his wife's murder, and she
sounds
knows
really good.
It shouldn't start to happen.
It's I added it to my wish list.
And I interviewed Audra about it, so I'll link that in the show notes too.
Yeah, this sounds really good. I
think you would love it.
I went to add it to my wish list, and it said that they her books are compared to like Alfred Hitchcock films.
Yes. Yep. Very Hitchcockian. So it's so good.
Yeah. That sounds really good.
I burned through it.
Damn.
And she's really sweet.
I've never heard of that book either. So, or the author. So
yeah.
Mad props to you.
She's really sweet. I love her. We still talk a lot on Instagram.
Oh, okay. I'll have to follow her and then order her book.
She has amazing hair, and she does her own hair.
Ugh, I love that.
Like, does dimension highlights on her own. I'm like, you are amazing.
That's the best. Yeah. That is the best. Yeah, it sounds really good. And it's under 300 pages.
Yeah, it's just really fun. And there's no fluff. Just suspense and just sexiness.
Thrills, chills, kills, and
dollar dicks. Bills. I mean, I'm sure there's money somewhere in the book.
Oh my god, we're crazy. I love it.
We are.
Well, speaking of people that we love and fantastic hair. There's a certain gentleman named Christopher Rice.
Yes.
And one of my favorite stories. And I'm dying to reread this book. And I have to reread it. Maybe in February for my Twisted Love Marathon. The Snow Garden. Excuse me. The Snow Garden is one of my favorite stories because it deals with crazy shit, college campus, and a little bit of a twist when it comes to the love romance aspect in the relationship. Nice. I'm gonna read all of it because these words are just like the keywords in this synopsis are just fantastic. But The Snow Garden by Christopher Rice is a shocking death, exposes dangerous forces of seduction, obsession, and vengeance lurking beneath the surface of a prestigious New England university. It is more than just the late November weather that has cast a chill over the campus of Atherton University. When the wife of respected professor Eric Eberman is killed in a tragic accident, his secret student lover, Randall Stone, fears the professor tried to avert career suicide by committing homicide. Or do the dead woman's haunting last words point to an even more damning crime? Fearing the truth, Randall digs into his lover's hidden history, but what he finds draws him and everyone he cares for into a dark dance of sexual manipulation, twisted retribution, and murderous rage where nothing is as it seems. Bum, bum, bum. I loved that book.
That sounds amazing. You've told me about it before. I just haven't read it yet.
Yes. It's one of the books that I think I read it when it came out. Because it's his second book. So I read A Density of Souls first. And I read this one and it was completely different than A Density of Souls. Like, it has that more thriller feel to it. But for a book that came out and I want to say 2002, 2003, for a book that came out then, to have a book that is a student and their professor in a relationship, but to also have it be a man cheating on his wife with another man who is also his student, to have that aspect would be juicy now, but to do it in like 2002 was unheard of because it was like, it's not done for shock value. And like the way that he writes the book, it's like, nope, this is actually the normal thing. So like the rest of the book is going to be what's like insane, but like he was just so much like normalized how much shit like that happens. And you know, it adds a little juice and a little spice. Like, we've all had a teacher.
Oh, we're gonna have to read Tampa.
I don't know about that. We've all had a teacher that, like, if they would have been like, stay after class, you would have been like, I'll be home at 8.
I'm trying to think. I went to a very, very, very small high school, though, so.
I did, too. Did you have any in college? Even, like, a teacher's assistant or anything?
Yeah, probably a teacher's assistant, yeah.
There you go. Same thing.
There we go.
Probably less risky, actually, you know?
Yeah.
Mine was, like, in high school, and if anybody went to high school with me, they probably have the same. It's probably their same pick.
I know who the other girls thought, but you know what? It was... You would have liked him. He was Kyle Chandler-esque.
Oh, but yes.
It was not my... I didn't... It, tall and dark hair is not typically my vibe.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
More for me.
Yes, that's why. I've got to leave some for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely would have went after the Kyle Chandler vibe. Speaking of which... I only have two episodes left of Ginny and Georgia, and then I'm moving
Yeah.
on to Bloodline.
You're gonna love it.
Yeah, I'm super pumped.
There's a lot of Kyle in it.
Oh, God. There's not in Mayor of Kingstown, although I stopped
Yeah.
watching it.
Did you watch all of it? Or did you say you did stop?
I had to stop. It was too dark for me.
I know. I just haven't
I
had
love
the
Nordic
interest.
noir. Karen
Once you said
Slaughter.
that, I was like, I don't think I'm gonna, 'cause like I don't watch tons of TV right now. And so I was just like, if it was too dark for you, I'm not even gonna spend my time on it.
Yeah.
'Cause I typically don't want to just be like sad
It's
either.
realistic, so like I'll give
Yeah.
them that, which is usually like my defense when a book
I
is
know.
a little dark, but it's realistic, but like it's almost like I probably could read it if it was a book, but if it like seeing it on screen, it was like just like not it for me.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to like violence against women, and I'm just like,
That
props
gets
to you
hard.
for showing people like this is actually what happens to women and this is what happens to people when you deal with like the underbelly of the crime world. But
Yeah.
no, not a fan.
Yeah.
Nope,
Ginny and
that's terrible.
Georgia's probably a lot happier overall.
It's like Gilmore Girls, One Tree Hill, and Desperate Housewives
You
all
said,
combined.
yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds great. I
It's
haven't
really
tried it
good.
yet.
There was just a cliffhanger on the episode that I watched last night, and I was like, I
Oh,
have to go to bed to like for my sanity.
I hate that.
But I was like, holy shit. So that's what I'm gonna be doing. I'm gonna be having some. I think they're called bibimbap, but they're like a Asian noodle. It's almost like a
Okay.
ramen noodle, but it's like a sweet and spicy sauce, and you can have it cold or hot.
Ooh.
Props to my friend Cindy for sending them to me, but that's what I'm
Switching
gonna
it
do.
up. Nice. That sounds yummy. I had my couscous veggie bowl before this. It was good though.
What veggies did you put in it?
Brussels sprouts and sweet potatoes.
Oh, nice.
And then it has a tahini maple sauce that you drizzle over it. That really makes it yummy.
In the summer, I like to do cherry tomatoes and mozzarella
Yeah.
and do like a caprese salad because you can
That
have it
sounds
cold
so
and it's
good.
so good. It's so good.
Yeah. I love mozzarella. I love
Oh
cheese
my
in
God, I do.
general.
I know. I know, me too. So
That's
good.
the problem. I could eat it for every meal. Well,
I
in
pretty much
every
do. I
meal.
pretty much do. So still don't see the
I do pretty
problem. Yeah, it's
often.
delicious.
Yeah, it's the best.
Love cheese.
Speaking of
Cheese and murder.
addictions.
Oh my God.
The
A seamless segue.
other one that I just the other one I just had to talk about because I read it recently is Daisy Jones and the Six.
Ooh.
And there's love all over the place in this one. But a gripping novel about the whirlwind rise of an iconic 1970s rock group and their beautiful lead singer, revealing the mystery behind their infamous breakup. Everyone knows Daisy Jones and the Six, but nobody knows the real reason why they split at the absolute height of their popularity until now. Daisy is a girl coming of age in LA in the late 60s, sneaking into clubs on the Sunset Strip, sleeping with rock stars, and dreaming of singing at the Whiskey a Go-Go. The sex and drugs are thrilling, but it's the rock and roll she loves the most. By the time she's 20, her voice is getting noticed, and she has the kind of heedless beauty that makes people do crazy things. Another band getting noticed is the Six, led by brooding Billy Dunn. On the eve of their first tour, his girlfriend Camilla finds out she's pregnant, and with the pressure of impending fatherhood and fame, Billy goes a little wild on the road. Daisy and Billy cross paths when a producer realizes the key to supercharged success is to put the two together. What happens next between the two will become the stuff of legend. There are a lot of relationships happening in the book that are I'm trying to figure out exactly how to say all of this without spoiling anything as well. It examines romantic relationships and friendships is kind of what it examines through the entire book, and also just has different versions of love and like what it can mean. And then it's also just like a really cool period piece that's loosely inspired by Fleetwood Mac.
I love that. And the show comes out in March.
Yeah. And if you somehow didn't know that Reese is producing a show for it, it comes out on Amazon on March 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
It was so good. I cried in that one too. Taylor Jenkins is 2 for 2 in making me cry.
I want to read it in March before the show.
Yeah.
It's like part of my goal.
I'm excited for you to read it. Because I haven't
fucking
talked to anyone about
love
it.
Riley Keough.
I know.
I love
she was
her so
perfect.
Much.
When you read this book, you'll understand just how perfect she is for this role.
I know. Like, she's the only one I'm paying attention to, like with the cast, because I don't know if I'm going to do my own cast with it or not. So she's like the only one that I'm like paying attention to, because it's hard not to. But yeah, I'm super pumped to watch it because I love her and everything she does.
She's so cool.
Speaking of whirlwinds.
Yes.
If you are a fan of Tell Me Lies, but you want something set in 1970s Pittsburgh that's queer and literary, then you should check out These Violent Delights by Micah Niemerever. If I butchered your last name, I'm so sorry, but I love you and your book. So this one is Paul and Julian meet as university freshmen in early 1970s Pittsburgh and are immediately drawn to one another. As a talented artist, Paul is sensitive and agonizingly insecure, incomprehensible to his working class family and desolate with grief over his father's recent death. Paul sees the wealthy, effortlessly charming Julian as his sole intellectual equal, an ally against the conventional world he finds so suffocating. He idolizes his friends for his magnetic confidence, but as charismatic as he can choose to be, Julian is also volatile and cruel. So as the friendship spirals into an all-consuming intimacy, Paul is desperate to protect their precarious bond, even as it becomes clear that pressures from the outside world are nothing compared to the brutality they are capable of inflicting on one another.
That cover is beautiful.
Cover's beautiful. Book is amazing.
And amazing. So this comparison at the bottom says The Secret History meets Call Me By Your Name.
Yes.
That's a pretty exciting comp.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also like would compare it to Tell Me Lies, because do you remember when we were talking about it? And like the book, it's like she kind of doesn't know like why she's like so drawn to him. And it's like this like really like back and forth toxic romance. Like that's kind of like what this is, but like you see the charm. So it's kind of like as a reader, you're watching and you're like, okay, get your shit together. Like, yes, he's hot. Yes, he's charming, but like he's also like a little dangerous and like horrible for you. And I feel like everybody like either had a crush or a relationship or something like where you kind of took that risk and it didn't work out because you're young and stupid and you think that you can change the bad boy or the guy who's like an asshole and a sociopath and a narcissist.
Why does it have to be so alluring?
I fall for it all the time.
Yeah.
I think I've dated more toxic people and like had relations with more toxic people than I had like non-toxic people. So that's like when a non-toxic guy came into my life, which I can only think of two people that I dated or like had some sort of relationship with. I honestly can only think of two. And it was in the span of like a year.
Oh, wow.
So it was like douchebag, 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 douchebag. Super nice guy. We broke up. I moved to Boston. Super nice guy. We broke up. I moved back to New York. Douche, 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 douche.
In that specific order.
In that specific order.
Oh.
So unless you were the person that I dated before I went to Boston or the person that I dated in Boston and you hear this, you're one of those douchebags.
You're the other ones.
You're, it's you. You're the problem. It's you.
This Goodbye. Diamond is not me.
No, it's not. The only problem I have is like shitty taste in men. This one made me feel a lot better.
I had two very weird relationships. And then I've been married most of my, all of, I was married at, that's a good question. I think I was 21.
That's so crazy.
Or 22. So.
That's like proof though. Cause like a lot of people are like, don't get married young, like live your life. Like the right one will come along. And like you got married at 21 cause you like, you know, like sometimes you just know when you know.
Yeah, and a lot happened in the first 2 years that we were together, and we had started therapy together, and like I felt confident in the ability to communicate, basically. And I feel like sometimes that's like, if you know you're attracted to the person, you know you like hanging out with them, and then you're like, oh wow, we know how to communicate without like being shitty with each other. It was all of those things together that made it an easier decision. But we went through a lot at the beginning.
Yeah. But that's good though. I think as tough as it was in the beginning of your relationship, it shows like how much you like feel for one another and how strongly you feel that bond, because a lot of people like start off in that honeymoon phase and then they have issues later on that they either don't deal with or they like, sweep under the rug, or can cause their relationship to like blow up and like end.
Yes.
And you were just kind of like, hey, listen, let's get some of the shit out of the way and just like live our best lives together forever. Yeah. And Tyler was like, okay, before we do that, let me get a little latte here.
Yes, that definitely would have been happening.
What do you have today? Was it a Teddy Graham latte? Is that what he had?
Yeah. So it's like
I could
graham
like
crackers and honey and chocolate.
It looks so good.
It was it. I still got iced coffee because I'm a hot bitch.
Oh yeah.
But I got a honeybee latte, which is honey and cinnamon, and it's honey and cinnamon were meant to be an iced coffee. If
really?
You haven't had it before. Yeah.
I'm not a huge cinnamon person, but now that I don't drink anymore, I'm starting to notice that like I don't mind if it's in other things because I probably traumatized myself with like cinnamon whiskey.
Yeah. That one is easy to traumatize yourself
or with. Like I guess I don't mind cinnamon if it's with something else, but like if you're like, oh, do you want this like cinnamon candy, I'll like spit it out and hit you in the forehead with it.
Would you eat a cinnamon roll?
Well, yeah,
okay. I didn't know
well, I mean yeah, because it has like frosting and like other
no
things.
I agree. I wouldn't eat a cinnamon candy though, so do you mean like Red Hots?
Yeah, or not necessarily Red Hots, because I don't think I would mind Red Hots now that I don't drink anymore, because I don't have that temptation of like cinnamon whiskey. I would probably enjoy a Red Hot every now and then. I'm a sucker for Mike and Ike's, like any flavor.
Oh yeah.
Except for like the original, because now I think the original is boring compared to everything else they have. But all I'm thinking of is, I don't know like where you would get them or where you would see them. Probably like the doctor's office or something, therapy, I don't know, wherever you would go. But they used to have these like, they looked like a mint, but it was cinnamon. Yeah. And like even the cellophane red that it was wrapped in was
and then like the red would melt and then it was jagged and would cut your tongue. Or that's just me.
Okay, so those are the ones that are like white with the red pinwheel.
Yes.
They used to give those out at Pizza Hut. That's how I remember those.
Okay.
When I was like, when Pizza Hut was like the shit.
Okay.
The ones I'm thinking of are almost like all, like they're all red. And it's cinnamon hard candy. But even like the cellophane that it was like wrapped in, or like the candy wrapper was like a red color too. I always thought like I would enjoy one of those. And then every time I put it in my mouth, I regret it.
These.
Yep.
Yeah, these look terrible.
They are. They ruin everything, including life.
Including life. Yeah, I would not eat them.
No, but like,
I don't like that
so
kind of cinnamon.
I might try it again now that, so like when I was having my dizzy spells and I didn't know what was going on with me, like I didn't know if it was vertigo, because in my mind it was a blood clot or a brain tumor or
Yeah.
something like tragic.
Yes.
But when I was doing that, I was drinking the Green Mountain K cups that are half decaf and half regular.
Yeah.
But before that, I was drinking the vanilla cinnamon K cups from Good and Gather, which is like the Target brand.
Nice.
Oh my God, it was such good coffee and it smelled
That sounds.
so good.
That's what, because cinnamon and vanilla are really good together. I think you probably would like honey and cinnamon in a nice coffee
All I can
because
think
it's
of
like
right now is a
lit.
cinnamon roll, honestly.
Oh my gosh, I make some of the best cinnamon rolls.
Do you?
I'll send you the recipe just in case you want it.
Yeah, I'll
But
do it.
during COVID, I found a recipe that like you can pretty much cook it in an hour and a half, which is pretty fast. But they're amazing. Like Tyler, when I make them, if he like comes downstairs, he's like, I'm gonna eat all of these today. And I'm like, I know. It's
That's
okay.
fine. Do it. Yeah.
It's like you'll survive somehow.
I actually still have the chocolate chip cookie recipe too that I need to try.
Oh my gosh, I made those this weekend. And I
Did
was like, I
you?
wish I could just drive this over to Gare.
Oh my God. Okay, so I'm gonna try to make them this weekend because it's supposed to get down to 30 to 45 below zero here with the wind
That's
chill.
terrible.
What a crock of shit.
I
I'm
know.
still gonna get takeout on Saturday. I don't care. I have been craving this like local place, like upstate New Yorkers who are by my area. If you ever listen to this, because I don't think anybody listens to it that I know, but Magic Mike's is where it's at.
Well, I mean, with a name like that.
Oh my God, it's so good. So good. I was like, oh, this is the best. But yeah. That's our tangent. How can you relate that to your next book with a
That's what I
segue?
was just
You're
like,
like,
just
speaking of cinnamon rolls, this woman reminded me of cinnamon roll on
speaking
the
of
next
cinnamon
book.
rolls and Magic Mike and
You never know.
no, I have no segue, and I was really just staring into the void thinking about food. So that's
I
really what was happening.
know. I know. I feel ya.
Not the vegetables that I ate. Oh well. Oh well.
Oh,
How would
well.
I? Yeah, I mean, I don't have a segue, but this one is definitely a very confusing relationship. In All the Dangerous Things by Stacey Willingham. One year ago, Isabel Drake's life changed forever. Her toddler son, Mason, was taken out of his crib in the middle of the night while she and her husband were asleep in the next room. With little evidence and few leads for the police to chase, the case quickly went cold. However, Isabel can't rest until Mason is returned to her, literally. Except for the occasional cat nap or small blackout where she loses track of time, she hasn't slept in a year. Her entire existence now revolves around finding him, but she knows she can't go on this way forever. In hopes of jarring loose a new witness or buried clue, she agrees to be interviewed by a true crime podcaster, but his interest in Isabel's past makes her nervous. His incessant questioning, paired with her severe insomnia, has brought up uncomfortable memories from her own childhood, making Isabel start to. I was like, do I see something moving? That's gonna be hilarious to look back and see. I thought
You're
something
gonna
was like.
die when you're gonna die when you go back to edit that, because I was literally like trying to be like Vanna White with a book, because it was literally like, it's the book that's like sitting on my desk right here. So when you
Oh
said it,
my
I like picked it
gosh.
up and I was like doing this, but you didn't notice ever. So I was like,
I kept thinking something was reflecting off my glasses, and then I was like, no, I swear something's moving. Well,
and but
everyone
you
who's
were like,
listening, go
and then in
watch.
her childhood, Like, it was like getting caught by like the strict teacher, like, cut your shit out.
Oh my gosh. And actually, like, I was like thinking I was distracting myself. I was like, hey, get it together, focus. Like, I was reprimanding myself.
Oh my god, that's so
Well,
funny.
She starts doubting her recollection of the night of Mason's disappearance, as well as second guessing who she can trust, including herself. But she's determined to figure out the truth no matter where it leads. So the description doesn't say anything about it, but it's not a spoiler to say that she and her husband have differing views on what happened to their son, and it makes their relationship really complicated.
Yeah, I definitely don't think that's a spoiler. I recently read this and loved it. But I don't think that's a spoiler. I mean, so many true crime documentaries and things like that, when it comes to a missing child or a murdered child or anything like that, it's bound to weasel its way into your relationship, and how, you know, sometimes it brings people together more who are already like kind of drifting apart, and sometimes it causes them to drift apart, but you don't know with this one.
You don't know. You do not know what's happening in this one.
I love that book.
It was very good.
I think it's going to be one of my favorite ones.
A reading slump or
same,
whatever I'm supposed to, whatever it is. I'd had multiple bad ones and or meh ones in a row. And this one was amazing.
I really enjoyed that. I also, I mean, I loved everything about it. I love the podcast aspect. I love the insomnia aspect. There, we've talked about this before, but I mean, having the woman who drinks too much be an unreliable narrator is annoying as shit at this point. I don't want to read any more books about that. So having your unreliable narrator be somebody who's dealing with insomnia and having like a legitimate excuse as to why.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
It was so good. Really good. And it's like, that was in this. It's also still not a spoiler to know. It's like, it's a problem. She's always had sleep issues. So it's also not just like, oh, something bad happens and she becomes an unreliable narrator. Like, it's, she's always dealt with it. So it's just something she's always living with, kind of.
A lot of layers in that plot and in that character.
I know. I'm
so good.
Yes.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that one. And it's a newish release.
Very new. Yep.
So mad props to Stacey Willingham. I can't wait to see what her next book is like.
I know.
Because I thought this one was completely different than her first one. Because it's always exciting when you find a debut author that you like and then you read their second book to see if it's like gonna be like as good or like what their, you know, like their vibe is gonna be.
They're a one trick pony, basically.
One trick pony, or sometimes some people get formulaic with their plots and it's like, okay, I know that like so-and-so is going to do this and like whatever percentage in. And
yes,
it's just a different setting and a different character name sometimes. But speaking of very interesting plots that you don't see every day in thrillers. I have one that I read. I've never stopped thinking about this book. And I don't know if I've ever talked about it on the podcast. So I'm very excited.
Whoa.
I read this book in like college, maybe high school. I'm not sure. And I thought about it and I thought about it and I thought about it and how good it would be as like a TV show and how twisted it is and how like I've never seen this in a thriller before. But the book is called Heartsick by Chelsea Kane. Damaged Portland detective Archie Sheridan spent 10 years tracking Gretchen Knoll. Gretchen Lowell. I'm just thinking of Jessica Knoll because I love her so much, probably.
That probably is what it is.
Yeah, I think it is because her next book announcement's going to be out soon. Like cover, yeah. Title, all of that. So Jessica Knoll, I love you. But Archie Sheridan is tracking Gretchen Lowell, a beautiful serial killer. But in the end, she was the one who caught him. 2 years ago, Gretchen kidnapped Archie and tortured him for 10 days. But instead of killing him, she mysteriously decided to let him go. She turned herself in, and now Gretchen has been locked away for the rest of her life while Archie is in a prison of another kind. Addicted to pain pills, unable to return to his own life, powerless to get those 10 horrific days off his mind. Archie's a different person. His estranged wife says and knows that she's right. He continues to visit Gretchen in prison once a week, saying that he can only get her to confess the whereabouts of more of her victims, but even he knows the truth. He can't stay away. When another killer begins snatching teenage girls off the streets of Portland, Archie has to pull himself together enough to lead the new task force investigating the murders. A hungry young newspaper reporter, Susan Ward, begins profiling Archie and the investigation, which sparks a deadly game between Archie, Susan, the new killer, and even Gretchen. They need to catch a killer, and maybe somehow then Archie can free himself from Gretchen once and for all.
I can't believe we've never talked about this. It sounds so good.
It's so good. So there's like a little, I don't know if this is like a spoiler or not, but I just really loved how she was, I mean, it says it in here, like she was the serial killer that he was tracking. But they were kind of seeing one another. Like he was cheating on his wife. This book's old, whatever. Like if you read it, you'll love it. But
yeah,
he was cheating on his wife with this woman because she was like the psychologist working on the task force, hunting a serial killer. And he's like the hotshot detective. So not only was he having an affair on his wife with the psychologist of the task force, hunting a serial killer, but then like finds out like she's the serial killer they've been hunting. And like, she infiltrated her way into the task force to like lead them in a different direction so they wouldn't like catch wind that it was her.
It's kind of Dextery.
It's so dark.
Without her killing bad people, maybe.
But she's like a hot serial killer. And even after she tortures him for 10 days, he's like visiting her in prison because like he's still in love with her. And it's like
is it like third person or is it written from either of their points of view?
I believe it's third person.
Okay. And did you read the series? Have you read all of them?
I read the series.
Nice.
I loved all of them.
All of them?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's a lot. There are six of them.
Yes.
For anyone wondering.
Yes. I loved them to the point that a couple years ago, I reread Heartsick because it's one of those books that I'm always like, this was like so freaking complex and twisty and cool. And I reread it on my Kindle and I was like, I wish I had all six of them in like paperback because like that would be like a fun thing to like binge one month or like 1 week that I had on vacation or something.
Yeah.
But yes, I loved like Chelsea Kane did not. Like, I think that she had six ideas in her mind. This was not like a let's keep this series going because we're selling a lot of it or because, you know, oh, like this one sold a ton. Like, can you do a sequel or like, you know how they do with like movies and books and everything like that, TV shows and whatnot. But like, I think that she had like six solid ideas as to where she could take these characters because they're very well developed.
Wow.
So that she was so like cool. Yeah, it was such a good book and it's so twisty. One of my favorite tropes is like a copycat killer or wondering if it's a copycat killer or an accomplice or whatnot. So like when you have a setting like Portland, like it's just like gritty and kind of like what we say about like San Francisco. But yeah, it's just really good, and it's like a hidden gem, I think,
Oh
if you
my
will,
gosh.
because they're like older, but yeah, they're really good. I love them.
I have to read that. That sounds so
I'll read it with you.
intriguing. Yeah.
Yeah, like when you pick it up. It's honestly, it's such a good book club pick too.
Oh, I bet. With the right people.
I'm not part of any book club. Like, you're my book club.
Yeah.
So
Same.
I say book club as in like, oh my God, it would be such a good buddy read for us, but like it would also be like really good for like a book club or a buddy read with your bestie or whatever. But yeah, it's definitely like if you like the movie Basic Instinct, then you'll like this.
I still need to watch that too.
Oh my God.
I know. I know.
Well, this has been fun.
Go watch it. You're like, I'm gonna go finish Ginny and Georgia.
I'm gonna go. Oh my God, I know. I might watch Basic Instinct this weekend.
Maybe I will too.
And then start Heartsick. Oh my God.
You should.
Oh my God, I'm sold.
Cool. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
I'll have plenty of time to read Ninth House.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I need to pick out my next read. I have
Yeah, I
10
need to
pages left
get
of
into
Finley
this one.
Donovan.
I'm still like 18 pages in, so like I'm still not like into it, but
Of Ninth House?
yeah.
I think I was between page 50 and 100 before I was like,
Yeah, like there's a lot that I have like no clue what's happening yet, and I'm just
yep.
trying to remember
The
everything.
beginning is very confusing with
It's like it
the.
just throws you in there.
So, like the grays, like you know what a gray is, right?
Yeah,
It's like a
but they don't tell
ghost.
you until after they've already talked about them.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like once like that happened, it was like easier for me. But yeah, as you, it's just a little literary in the beginning.
Yeah.
And
And I didn't know what a
not a lot's going on.
lost a nation. I can't even remember what that weird P word is.
See, I don't even remember that, but I
When they
loved
cut
it.
people open and like move their organs around, there's like a big P word for it. And I was like, I don't know what this word is yet.
That was only in the beginning. You don't have to deal with
It
that the
never
rest of the
happens.
book.
That's really good because what
I
was
was the same
funny
way.
was like
I was.
I'm having just like more like mucus. So then I wake up and my stomach will be a little bit upset from the drainage. So I was trying to read it this morning and it was like all this gross like body descriptions and stuff. And I was like, I really hope this doesn't happen a lot in the book. And because like I was almost like, shit, is this not a good
No.
book for me? So I actually
No.
am excited to hear that that doesn't keep happening.
There's definitely some more like gory
Right.
stuff, understandably, but no, there's not anything else like that. No.
That's good. That's good to
No,
know.
ma'am. No,
Because
ma'am.
the second book cover is like so creepy looking, and I was like, oh boy. But I think I like it. I think I'm gonna
Yeah,
like it a
I really
lot.
love them. I think that it's just that thing of I really love it, but I can't really tell you a whole ton of what I know, like a general idea as to what happened, but
Yeah.
no,
I know.
not
That's
the
what a lot
rest
of
of that.
people's reviews are like about it. So
Yeah.
finish that up and then we can get heart sick. My last one is actually part of a series too.
Ooh.
Well, and the second one comes out this summer, basically. So it hasn't come out, but it's on its way. But
Okay.
it is Alias Emma by Ava Glass, which definitely talked about before. Emma Makepeace is about to spend the longest night in her life. She's on her first operation with a shadowy organization known only as the Agency, assigned to track down and save an innocent man wanted by the Russian government. All Emma has to do is bring him in to MI6 before sunrise and before an assassination team gets to him first. But the Russians have hacked the city's CCTV cameras. There are spies all over London searching for the two of them, and her target, Michael Primalov, doesn't want to be rescued. As London sleeps, a battle is taking place on its streets as Emma fights to keep Michael alive. But what sort of reception await them if and when they get to MI6? Also, not
Damn.
really a spoiler to say that she kind of starts to like, she and Michael start to like each other. It's a very fun spy novel, and then it's also fun that the gender roles are flipped. So it's like he has no clue how to survive, and she's like teaching him how to like go through the tunnels of London and like beating people up to protect him, and he's just like wide-eyed. But then they get really close to each other, and it's it literally the whole book takes place in like 16 hours overnight.
That's cool. I like that.
And it's just like, it's, I would say, so I know like kind of what you don't end up liking about spy thrillers is like politics and that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I would say this is just like a really fun, like almost feel like more like a Race Against the Clock action book. Because there are, and it's mainly her, like she and Michael are the main characters. So like, you're also not keeping track of multiple people. You're just like trying to escape across London with them. And I think they might be my favorite book relationship ever. I don't know why, but I loved it. I just loved them. And we don't know if they're ever going to see each other again based on the ending, but there is a second book coming out in August. And it's definitely one of my most anticipated reads this year.
Dang. The cover is gorgeous. I looked it up.
There are two, because it's like the UK cover is a little different, and both of them are so cool. So Damn. Yeah, action packed. And then there's like just enough of a little love interest that I remembered it from an action packed book.
Sold.
Yeah. If you think you could be mildly interested in a spy book, this would be the one to try out.
I like that.
Yeah.
I also like when, like you said, like the roles are like reversed. I think you would like that book, 11 by Kylie Brandt.
Oh, really?
My lights just flickered. Yes, I think you would really like the book 11 by Kylie Brandt, because there's a lot of action in the beginning.
Oh, okay. Was that the one you DNF'd though?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It wasn't like, based on the synopsis, like what I was reading was not what I was in the mood for. I was in the mood for more what the book was based on the synopsis and what the book was based on what the book was. But I think you will really enjoy that one. Because there is like action, and I think there might be more to it that would be more up your alley than mine.
Yeah. That makes
sense. It's a lot nicer than what I said to my friend Cindy once, because I was like reading a book. I didn't mean for it to come off this bitchy, but she still makes fun of me to this day. But I was like, I think I'm gonna DNF this book, but it's probably right, like it's probably up your alley, or like something to that effect. Like I was like, I'm not gonna finish this, but I think you'll love it, is I think what I said.
Yeah.
And she was just like, that sounds so bitchy, even though I know exactly what you mean. But I was like, I'm gonna DNF this, but you'll probably love it. Like, oh, this isn't good enough for me, but it'll probably be perfect for you.
That's what I'm always like. I talk to my sister-in-law about that sometimes though, because like she would never read anything I read, and like I would never read anything she would. And so like sometimes she'll be like, would I like that TV show? And I'm like, no, I loved it, but it's not for you. And then I'm like, I don't mean it to sound mean. And she's like, no, it doesn't sound mean, but like I could see how with the wrong person it like sounds like you're like, you would like it, but it's just knowing what people like.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like when you take thrillers, like if you have like a spy one, or like political vibes, or cults, or things like that, like that's definitely like your vibe. And like with me, it's like serial killers, police procedural, romantic love suspense. Oh my god, I know. Love and Monsters
as a genre itself.
Yeah. So I like a little steam with my thrillers, whether it's like in the plot, or you know, if it's just sexy.
Yes.
Speaking of
Nice.
You want a little steam in your thriller.
Uh-huh.
And an unconventional storyline that I would say could be like a thriller remake of Pretty Woman. We're talking about The Arrangement by Robin Harding, one of my favorite women in thrillers. I love her. Natalie is a young art student in New York City who is struggling to pay her bills when her friend makes a suggestion. Why not go online and find a sugar daddy? A wealthy older man who will pay her for dates and even give her a monthly allowance. Lots of girls do it, Nat learns. All that's required is to look pretty and hang on to his every word. Sexual favors optional. Though more than 30 years her senior, Gabe, a handsome corporate finance attorney, seems like the perfect candidate. And within a month, they are madly in love. Well, at least Nat is. Gabe already has a family whom he has no intention of leaving. So when he abruptly ends things, Nat can't let go. She begins drinking heavily and stalking him. Watching him at work, spying on his wife, even befriending his daughter, who is not much younger than she is. But Gabe's not about to let his sugar baby destroy his perfect life. What was supposed to be a mutually beneficial arrangement devolves into a nightmare of deception, obsession, and when a body is found near Gabe's posh Upper East Side apartment, murder.
I haven't read that one.
Ah. It's so
that
good.
That sounds amazing too.
It's so good. So good. Yes. All Robin Harding books are fantastic.
Recommendations.
I had a lot of books today that I did not, that I've never talked about.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if I was like Jar of Hearts?
Oh my gosh. I almost made a joke when you introed Heartsick and you were like, this is one I actually haven't talked about at all on the podcast. I think I was about to be like The Woman Inside.
I think it's like The Woman Inside, Jar of Hearts.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there's like a third one that I like talk about all the time.
Maybe not.
Luckiest Girl Alive.
Kismet and The Paradox Hotel a lot. Mm-hmm.
I think
and
you'll like
the
Robin
ones
Harding.
We just always talk about.
Yeah. Robin Harding takes, like, you know when you watch like a Lifetime movie and you're like, ooh, this sounds really good. And then you watch it and you're like, the synopsis sounded better than what I got when I watched the movie.
Yeah.
It's like Robin Harding takes those plots of like, you know, things that you don't usually see in a thriller, but like they're really fucking good.
Yeah.
Like, she exceeds your expectations based on what the synopsis is instead of, like, lets you down.
Yes. I have still only read one of hers.
Her Pretty Face?
I read
face.
The Swap. And then I have
Love
Her Pretty
the
Face
swap.
On my
Love
list
the swap.
From when we talked about her last. But I did not have The Arrangement on my list. So I need
the
to
swap.
Go on a Robin Harding.
Oh, you will bender. Not regret it. I think she's really good for, like, spring and summer.
Okay. Yeah, I remember The Swap having very summery vibes.
Yeah, I love The Swap. I love The Arrangement. I love Her Pretty Face. The Perfect Family.
That one's good too.
So good.
I need to read them all.
And her new one comes out this summer.
I know. I requested that one. We'll see.
I got my art came in this week.
That's so exciting.
Because she told her publisher, like, send him one.
Oh, that's awesome.
She's amazing. Yeah, you will love her books.
I'm excited because for some reason that just reminded me that Samantha Downing's next one is actually called A Twisted Love Story.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be good for our theme too. But
yeah, major shout out to Samantha Downing. She does really fucked up relationships really well.
Yes, she does. I know. She's that's amazing. Where I was like, I can't say My Lovely Wife. Like, I think we've talked about it 2 weeks in a row.
Right. I'll just also use this to plug Seeing Strangers by Sebastian J. Plata, because that's another one that has like it deals with an open marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But they're getting ready to close their marriage because these two men are they're gonna have a baby. So like the surrogate's like ready to pop, and like, you know, the one man says to the other man, like, once this baby comes, no more of this. Like, it's just you and me and our baby. So the other guy's like, I'm gonna fuck as many people in New York City as I can before this baby comes. And it's like, be careful who you let in your bedroom.
Yeah.
Yep. Sometimes things get a little dangerous when you are putting the booty on duty.
You are full of the best rhymes tonight. So, dicking and tricking is how we started it off.
Tricks and decks. Booty on duty. Yeah.
Yeah, that one's on my list too, because you make me want to read it every time you talk about it.
That was going to be my icebreaker, but I guess it could be my, like,
ice ender.
Yeah. Is that, do you only keep track of your TBR digitally through Goodreads, or do you have, like, lists on your phone or anything like that?
Just Goodreads.
That's amazing. I want to try to do that. I have lists everywhere on my phone.
Yeah.
I'm psycho. Any of
the times we've talked about, like, reading certain ones, I'll probably keep a list of that, but otherwise, no, I don't have any other lists.
Oh my god, my list is crazy. I use it in the notes app on my iPhone.
Oh, okay.
And it's like series I want to read, authors I want to check out, and then there's the crazy Tracy Crossway series. Everything I have on NetGalley, and when the, like, deadline is, like, before they
archive it.
Yep, thank you. Then I have, like, things that I want to read in January that I didn't get to yet. So, like, those will be, like, now backlist.
Yeah.
February, I have planned out. March, and then I have all of my arcs. Male romance. Heterosexual romance. Books that I bought on my Kindle that were just, like, a good deal.
They do have good deals.
And then, like, a bunch of, like, authors and a bunch of backlist things. And then all of the arcs that I got in 2022 that I, like, wasn't in the mood for, but decided to, like, go back to at a later date.
Yeah, I don't plan Psycho. That far ahead.
Psycho.
Mostly it's like, if I have NetGalleys, I'm paying attention when those are going to come out. And then I read it. Like a month ish before or sooner. But I have thought about making more shelves on Goodreads so that I could have some more organization. Especially because I don't read much nonfiction either. So if I do, it's because I'm like, oh, that was a topic I was interested in, or like, oh, maybe that audiobook will be good. But I would say, like, 5% of what I read each year is nonfiction, and I only listen to it. So I need just a separate list for when I'm like, oh, what was that audiobook I thought I might listen to? So I have been thinking about making more shelves.
Oh, I like that idea.
And then I can make a gear shelf.
Yeah, and then there could be, like, a gear buddy read shelf.
Yeah.
Because, like, sometimes we'll be like, oh, I really want to read this book. And you're like, well, I have it on NetGalley. And I'm like, I do too. And we'll be like, let's read it together. Or we'll be like, I'll recommend a book to you and be like, oh my God, I love this book so much. And you're like, I want to read it. And I'm like, I'll read it with you. Like, I'll read it again when you read it. So yeah, that'd be fun.